This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Lisa Wysocki from Mound, Minnesota, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 8, episode 1468. This episode is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Horse World. It's Friday.
When I get off of work on Friday.
Everybody's favorite day of the week.
On Horses in the Morning. So let the good times roll. Let the good times roll. I don't care if you're young or old. Get together, let the good times roll.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this Freestyle Friday. We appreciate you being here. Jamie is off today. She's taking her horses up to a horse trial. Hopefully a little bit cooler than where she is. She's going up to northern Arizona in the mountains. So she said the temperature will drop about 30 degrees. She was happy about that. She's taking her Mustang Zeus to his first baby novice horse trial. So we'll see how he does. If he jumps out of the dressage ring or... Well, she'll have stories for Monday, I'm sure. She'll be that girl, so she'll have stories. We promise you she'll have stories. And we want to welcome Lisa Wysocki, of course. She joins us. She fills in for Jamie quite a lot, and I appreciate that, Lisa.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. It's going to be fun.
Lisa is our favorite author and a good friend of ours here at the Horse Radio Network and personally. And she's our favorite author because she includes us in her books. So that's why she's our favorite author. Speaking of which, there's another book being written right now, right? With Kat Enright and the whole gang?
There absolutely is. This is the fourth in the Kat Enright mystery series. It's called The Maine Equation, M-A-N-E. Probably won't be out until next fall, but Kat Enright, my protagonist, and I are collaborating, so to speak. And she's either miscommunicating to me or we're butting heads about a few plot points this time around.
Oh, she wants Jamie to be the murderer, doesn't she?
Well, you know, but
I've been waiting for four books for Jamie to do something bad.
Well, but you know, we like Jamie so much, and I just, you know,
that doesn't mean she can't be bad.
Well, fictionally, maybe.
Yes. So she would love it actually that she was the antagonist for a change.
Yes, she would. And you know, the Horses in the Morning crew were in books 2 and 3, the Magnum Equation and the Fame Equation, and so. I think it'll be a given that Horses in the Morning again will be featured in book 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We wait to see what we're up to in book 4.
Yes, me too.
Hey, I got to tell you, you know, you think you've seen it all with horses, and Jennifer and I have been around a lot of horses. At one point, we had like 25 horses in the barn. We've seen horses do the stupidest stuff, some with tragic endings, some that were just funny, right?
Yes.
And, you know, you think you've seen it all until I walked the dog this morning. Now, we have fences that are about, they're typical Florida fences, I call them. They're about 5 foot tall. They're wooden posts, and there's a wooden rail across the top, and then they have the no-climb wire fence underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how almost all of Florida is. So I'm walking the dog this morning, and Jennifer's new horse, Nigel, is about 16 hands, but he's a big bone guy.
I've seen pictures.
Yeah, he's a big bone guy, kind of laid back and everything. And he is out next to the antagonist on the farm, the landlord's horse. So, Pablo. Is that a good description for Pablo? He's kind of the antagonist. He's always causing trouble and everything. So I'm walking the dog this morning, and I'm looking at these two playing over the fence. And again, the fence is about 5 foot high.
Right.
So they're playing over the fence, and then all of a sudden they start rearing like they do. And doesn't Nigel, Jennifer's horse, I've never seen this happen before, comes down on top of the fence with his front ankles.
Oh, my goodness.
So he So his feet are hanging over the fence and his ankles are on the fence. And he got this look on his face like, what the hell do I do now? I mean, it just totally baffled him. He had this confused expression on his face. He was there trying to get off for about 30 seconds till he figured out he had to rear up some more to get off. And then I thought he was going to fall over. I really did. I thought he was going to fall over. And then I was like, oh, geez, what horse does that? I've never seen that before.
Where one actually,
I have never seen it. You know, you see them rear up at the fence all the time, and maybe they get one hoof on top or something, and then they come off. But I've never seen both go over, and he was stuck.
Well, now I had a little Appaloosa mare named Snoqualmie when I was growing up, and she the barn had a Dutch door, and she would rear up and get her front end over the lower half of the door when it was feeding time. She actually got stuck.
That's naughty.
Yes, she got stuck a couple of times. We had to like take the door off the hinge to get her off the door.
Well, I was wondering what we were going to do if he was stuck there like that. And then, of course, Pablo's just picking on him the whole time he's stuck there.
Aww.
You know, Pablo's going in for the kill. And so he did get off, and then we got Jennifer. And so what's the verdict on his legs? He had some scratches and stuff?
Had a couple little tiny scrapes, nothing that was significant. I am anticipating some bruising because he slid down in an effort to get off so that the fence rail was behind his knees.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm anticipating some bruising around his knees and his check ligaments and things like that. So the after the show, our first chore is to go to town and get a big bag of crushed ice. That's
there you go. There you go.
You know, it's one of those things as you're watching it, you just don't even, your mind doesn't wrap around what it's seeing. You know, it's like,
like, really?
Are you kidding me?
And that's the time when you wish you had a video camera attached to your head so that you could like capture the whole thing.
Yeah, because you know, as soon as you get your camera out and get it going, it's over, right?
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
That's over. But I was just. I just shook my head and said, what else can they do to hurt themselves? I have never seen this horse rear. So it was a first for that, too.
We
don't know what they're out there doing at night. See, you just don't know what these horses are up to. And which reminds me, that movie's coming out this weekend. What's it called, Jennifer? The movie about what the animals do when the people are away?
Oh,
The Secret Life of Pets is coming out this weekend. And we're going to go see it. So we'll have a report on that on Monday. But
that would be fun.
There's a little bit of The Secret Life of Pets right in my paddock this morning. So I just happened to be looking. Yeah, so anyway, what's coming up on today's show, Jennifer? What more catastrophes do we have?
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, following our requisite weekly Rio Olympics rant from Glenn, we will get down to business of the freestyling through the equinosphere as we chat with Nashville-based horse gal and mystery author, Jaden Terrell, and mid-show, we will dip our toes into the Tao of Horsemanship with Caroline Vallant Ryder. Yes, that's her name, Ryder. And just before the credits roll, Really Bad Ads takes us through a hair-raising chase scene through the online classifieds. So stay tuned for the Friday, folks.
And we have more listener-submitted audio for that, which is going to be really cool. Plus, wait till you hear what the prize is. We got a really big prize for Really Bad Ads this month. But first, Daily Winnies. I have a couple of happy birthdays here. The first is for Kimberly Smiley, who we missed on Monday because we didn't have a show. It was her birthday on July 4th, and she's one of our valuable auditors, and we really appreciate her. So I wanted to give her a happy birthday. And, of course, my brother Gary's birthday today, too. So happy birthday to Gary as well. But, Kimberly, I'm sorry I missed you, and we'll never do it again, I promise. And you have a Daily Winnie too, right?
I do. I absolutely do. Yeah, my Daily Winnie goes out actually to all of the auditors here at the Horse Radio Network because I've done the Alabama Horse Fair this spring. I did the Midwest Horse Fair. And I tell you, the auditors here are so amazing. They chase me down across the fairgrounds just to introduce themselves. And I just wanted to just kudos to them. They're just so loyal listeners, and they're awesome, every one of them.
You've been stalked. You're being stalked.
I have been stalked, yes.
Well, that's good. I'm glad.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Well, terrific. You know, it's funny because a lot of podcasters complain they don't get any feedback. Well, we get a lot of it. So
yes.
Through the auditors and we're really, and our listeners, and we're really glad we do. And we appreciate it. And we read every bit of it. Okay. Before we get to your miracle mosquito brew, that's right. You have a brew, literally, that will help with mosquitoes, and you're claiming it works. Kind of bizarre, but we'll talk about it. And everybody's talking about what works for mosquitoes because it seems like fly sprays don't work. It's just mosquitoes are tough. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But first, I have a rant to go on, and I need this.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
That's right. That goes out to the whole selection committee in Canada for the Olympics. The whole committee gets that. I found out last night, and Jennifer will tell you I ranted for a half an hour, so I'm a little over it today. I won't be quite as bad, but longtime listeners of the Horse Radio Network, not just this show, but the Horse Radio Network, will know that Jessica Phoenix, the eventer out of Canada, is one of our favorite people in the whole world. She was our headliner. We followed her all the way up to the WEG in 2010. She's been on the shows 100 times. Anytime I ask her to come on the show, she comes on. She is super sweet, super nice. We went through having babies with her, and, you know, just a super person. And we, personally, I like her a lot. She's an excellent rider. She had four horses qualified for the Olympics this year and was not named on the team. She was named as an alternate.
Wow.
Now, she's appealing that right now, and we'll see what happens with that. Now, that doesn't take away from the riders who are on the team. There's some really good riders and friends of the Horse Radio Network on the team as well. Rebecca Howard, Selena O'Hanlon's on the team, Colleen Loach, and Catherine Robinson, all female team too, by the way, have been named in Canada. But the whole Jessica story, I don't know what exactly happened. I only know what I've read and a little bit maybe behind the scenes. Well, hold on, I'm getting a report right now behind the scenes.
Oh my!
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, wait a minute! I need this.
Okay, the final
breaking news.
Okay.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
We're ready. A birdie just told me that the final Canadian team will be named on July 14th, and she still might be on the team. She rode Pavarotti would be her horse that would be most likely to be on the team. That horse won gold at the 2011 Pan Ams. It won silver at the 2015 Pan Ams, and it competed at the 2014 WEG. I don't know what's going on up there with the selection. They have a different selection process in Canada. They in the United States, there's selection trials, and it's more transparent. Who has a shot of being on the team? Up there, it's not done that way, and it's pretty subjective to the selectors. And for the first time, Clayton Fredericks, the coach of the team, was added as a selector last fall, and that's very unusual in any country to have the coach as a selector, because there's almost a little bit of a conflict there, right?
Boy, there sure is. Yeah.
I think it's stupid, actually. But it just doesn't make sense because of the conflict of interest. And apparently all I know is what I read on Eventing Connect said their most recent trial, they don't really have selection trials, but the place where you go to get noticed was Bromont. And that was a 3-star, I believe. And apparently there was some drama with the selectors and Jessica Phoenix surrounding her decision to withdraw her horses from cross country after dressage. And the reason, and she was running other horses. She did have a fall there on one of the horses. So, I mean, there was all kinds of drama up there, and I don't know what was going on. I don't know the whole story. There's always two sides to every story, but apparently she is appealing. I do know that she's been a team player. She's been there every time that they've called on her. She really is a team player. I've seen her, you know, around the team at events. And I don't know. When I found out she wasn't on this roster to be selected at this point, I was like, oh man, how could Jessica not be on the team? So Jessica, we love you, Jessica. I'm just letting you know that.
Oh, now everybody has to wait another almost a week.
That's right. Well, and apparently something's going on in Australia too, right, Jennifer? Didn't Fiona posted something too that the Australia there that hasn't announced a team yet and it's going to be delayed because somebody is challenging. So
wow.
So apparently something's going on in Australia too.
Wow.
Well, so there we are.
It'll be interesting.
That's what's going on the Olympic front. Go, Jessica. I hope you get in. As I said, I have nothing against the people who are selected. It's just that we're partial to Jessica. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I stalk Jessica like our listeners stalk you.
There you go. There you go. Everybody needs a stalker.
Well, while Jennifer gets our first guest on, I have to hear about this. You said I have the miracle mosquito brew because, you know, fly spray doesn't always work with mosquitoes.
No.
And you're in where, Minnesota right now?
I'm in Minnesota right now,
yeah. Yeah, where they make them the size of your head.
Well, it's the mosquito is the Minnesota state bird here. So, you know, it's a huge problem. And, of course, my farm is in Tennessee. I have a therapeutic riding center called Colby's Army. And, you know, we have a lot of river property, a lot of low land, and, you know, mosquitoes are bad. So I found this on the internet, and I think a lot of the listeners have probably seen this because it's been floating around Facebook for a while. But I thought, I'm just going to check it out and see if it works because it's a little bit odd. It's 3 cups of Epsom salts, 3 cans of 12-ounce cans of stale, cheap beer. Has to be stale beer, has to be cheap beer.
So and I made up the name Mosquito Brew this morning, and not knowing that there was actually beer in
and
it.
And it is. And then to that, you add one big...
Can't be expensive beer, no lagers, we really need Bud Light. Is that what we're looking at here?
Yeah. Okay. Or there's a few other brands that are, cheaper than that. and to the 3 cups of Epsom salts and the 12-ounce cans of cheap stale beer, you add 1 big bottle of blue mouthwash. The mouthwash has to be blue. I get it at the dollar store. I go to Dollar Tree and
get
that.
You can't use the green one?
No. Has to be blue. And so you mix it all up and you wait for the Epsom salts to dissolve and then you spray it all around your farm and it makes like a big, like almost a, maybe not a gallon, but it makes a big batch of it.
Yeah, well, that's a big batch there.
Yeah, you just put it in a cheap sprayer, spray it around the farm. And it didn't say that you could spray it on people or horses, but we do because there's really nothing toxic. It's just that, you know, you smell like a brewery. Yeah, you know.
Don't drive your car after you've sprayed this on yourself. The policeman's going to go, all right, out.
No, you smell like a minty brewery. And I have one other little thing to add to this is that when I go out to my farm, I live about 20 minutes away. And so I pass Walmart on my way in and I'm not a beer drinker per se. So I get, you know, my cheap stale beer at Walmart. But when I go by Walmart, it's about 7 o'clock or maybe 7:30 in the morning. And the first time I tried this, I had been on the riding lawnmower for about 6 hours the day before and I've got a bad knee. So I was a little bit gimpy. And so my gait was kind of awkward and staggery. So I get my 6 cans of cheap beer. And I also had some poison ivy. And so the cans felt good on my wrists that were itching. So I was kind of like hugging my 6 cans of cheap beer and staggering up to the up to the checkout counter. And the lady just kind of looked at me at 7 o'clock in the morning that I'm buying all this beer. and then I, of course, said, I'm trying to justify myself. I said, I need the beer to keep the mosquitoes away. And she just kind of looked at me like, I've got your number. And here we are. We've got a new nonprofit in a county that's just outside of Nashville. I'm trying to create a really good image, you know. And now everybody at Walmart, I always come in at 7:30 in the morning to get the beer, and I'm sure they think
was
I'm
it
a,
old Milwaukee?
Well, it was.
How did I know?
Yeah. You know, I just go to the cheapest beer, you know, it's this cheap beer. It's
you know, only the drunks are buying old Milwaukee at 7 o'clock in the morning.
And you can get it in the can and it's $1.77 for a 24-ounce can. So and it's nice and cold if you got poison ivy on your wrists, you know, it makes it feel good and so, but it does work. It's 3 stale 12-ounce cans of cheap beer, 3 cups of Epsom salts, 1 big bottle of minty blue mouthwash sprayed around. And the neat thing is it lasts for like a week or two. Now, the recipe says it lasts like 60 to 80 days. We have not found that to be true.
And what I thought was interesting is it was meant to be sprayed on the area. So like on your back porch or around the barn or wherever. Yeah.
Yeah. Sprayed in the stalls and in our grooming areas and in our riding and in our mounting areas. And it works. It keeps the mosquitoes away. Now, it doesn't do much for flies. I will say that.
Well, they like beer.
They like, yes, they like the beer. We use vinegar
you're
and water.
All the mosquitoes will be gone, but you're going to have 1,000 flies.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, but vinegar and water works for Tennessee flies pretty well.
That's funny. Jennifer's going to post that that little recipe of yours on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. So if you missed it exactly, you know, 3:12, you could use a 40 too if you really want to look like the drunk at 7 o'clock
you
in the
really
morning.
Could.
Buy
you
your
really
40.
And I just suggest that people wait until about 9 o'clock in the morning before they go buy their beer. Yeah,
that's funny. All right. Why don't you introduce our first guest?
Yeah, we've got Jaden Terrell. She's a mystery author from Nashville, Tennessee. She's really involved in Sisters in Crime and Mystery Writers of America. But she writes an amazing series. Her protagonist is a man by the name of Jared McKean. And what I really love about Jaden is in her real life, she has a 37-year-old quarter horse named Pete.
Wow.
And all of us in Tennessee are huge Pete fans. So, Jaden, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you here. I'm so glad that we can introduce your series to the readers here at Horses in the Morning, because your protagonist, Jared McKean, has horses. So you have horses in your book. Books?
I do. And his horse, Tex, is based on my horse, Pete.
Well, really? You know, it is unusual to have a quarter horse that's made it to 37. We've had a couple of ponies get to into their 40s, but never a horse that old.
Yeah, he's doing really well. I'm proud of him.
Yeah. Jeez, what'd you do? What was your secret for keeping him to old age? Now, every time they ask a 102-year-old woman that, she says, I drink a lot and I smoke. So what's your secret to keeping your quarter horse healthy until 37?
Well, I wish I had something like he smokes a pipe every day or something like that. But I got him, I've had him twice. I had him once when he was much younger, and I got him once when he was about 30. And at that point, he was starting to really show his age. So we had a little battle. He got really thin. And so I called the nutritionist at NTSU, and I shoveled the mix of Ultium and Timothy pellets and senior feed down him. So essentially, he gets problems, and then we just troubleshoot and try to figure out how to make him better. I've got a great natural barrier, and he's really, they call him my $1 million horse, because he gets a lot of expensive food.
Well, I think it's great that you've been able to incorporate Pete in a fictional version, in text, in your books. And what I am continually amazed about is, you know, I write about Kat Enright, who's an Appaloosa horse trainer, but you write about Jared, who's a private investigator, but he's a man. I could never write from a man's viewpoint. How do you do that?
Well, I was trying to write from a female perspective. I was trying to write this sassy little female detective, and it just didn't work because she was either a bad Kinsey Millhone knockoff or an even worse V.R. Warshawski knockoff, or she was too much like me, and she'd go, I'm not going to go down in that dark basement by myself. I'm going to sit in the car and dial 911 like any reasonable person would do. And Jared was just, I got this vision in my mind, and there he was. And I, you know, I'm married to a man, and I've always had a lot of friends who are men, and he just kind of popped into my head, and he seemed really natural. And so what I tend to do is I paraphrase what he said, and then I have to kind of man him up and in the rewrite. But I run everything past my male friends and my husband. Would you do this, or would a guy do this? And so I try to keep him as real as possible. But I just couldn't write the female character, and he seemed very natural. I had a real affinity for him for some reason.
Now, we talk here on...
And I love him.
Yeah, you know, I am so privileged to co-host this show now and then, and I've written the Horses in the Morning crew into my mysteries, and I know that you are also from Nashville, and you have a lot of kind of real-life points in your books, which I think is really kind of cool. So if anybody goes to Nashville, oh, there's the street that Jared has driven down. So you put a lot of real-life stuff in your books, too.
I do, and I'll try to drive someplace. If he's going somewhere, I'll try to go there. But then sometimes you have places that, like, somebody's getting killed, you can't use a real place, so you have to invent a hotel, or if somebody's going to get food poisoning, you don't want to put it in a real restaurant. So those things are...
Yeah, I guess that's not good.
There's some unreal things flopped into Jared's Nashville.
Really, yeah. Good.
That'll save some lawsuits later.
Exactly.
That's
exactly
right.
Well, your book that's coming out soon, is it this fall? It's A Taste of Blood and Ashes?
Yes, it's the end of September or early October, depending on the printer.
Okay. And now this has to do really more, it's more of a horse-based mystery than your first three, isn't it?
It is. The other ones have the horses kind of incidental because they're a part of his life and his pet and he deals with them every day, but they don't actually play much of a role in the plot. Whereas this one is very much horse-centric.
Yeah, and I know you've got a barn fire and you've got your protagonist going to a horse show and there's all kinds of stuff in there that's you know, just ripe for horse lovers.
Oh, it's horse from beginning to end.
Yeah, it is. And I have to say I've read an advanced copy of the book and it's really pretty amazing. Jaden Terrell is one of my favorite authors, and I mean, I have stayed up every night when her books come out, and I have stayed up all night because I just can't put the books down.
Thank you for
keeping me up. So you know, it's
well, you were really helpful on this one because I don't show, and so there's a lot of things that happen in the horse show world, and I say, okay, what do they call this? And you were kind enough to read it and catch any big mistakes anyway. Anything that's left over my fault, but I really appreciate your help.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. I think, you know, a lot of us who love horses so much just love reading about horses, whether it's fiction or nonfiction. And it's hard sometimes to find those horse books that are written, you know, with good attention to detail about the horse. You know, I know I get turned off if the writer gets something major wrong, like, you know, that they say, oh, the quarter horse was 7 hands tall or something, you know, but you've done a really, really, really great job. And, you know, I think, you know, as a horse person, now you also got certified as an equine sports massage therapist, correct?
I did. It was so much fun. I went and spent a week in Virginia.
Yeah.
I lived at a little bed and breakfast, and we went in and had the class every day, and it was so much fun. You just hung out with horses, and it's really helped because Pete is so geriatric, and I have another special needs horse, and so knowing some massage techniques really, I think, helps.
Oh, absolutely.
Sore joints and stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I know those of us in Nashville who kind of follow Pete's story know that a year or so ago, or maybe it's been a little longer than that, he had an eye ulcer and he almost lost his eye. But you went out there, what, like 8 times a day to treat him or something?
It seemed like it. Four times a day. And so his timing was so bad because I was still at my day job. And you could, you know, a month from now, I'm free all day. But so I would go before work, and I'd go at lunch, and I'd go right after work, and I'd go again at night. And we put this stuff in his eye, the ointment in his eye. And he did not like that idea at all at first, but he was really good about letting me do it. We did some quicker training to get him used to the idea, oh, this is what she wants, and it's not as horrible as I thought it might be.
One of the first rules of horses is they never get hurt when it's convenient.
No. I guess it's never really convenient.
No, you're right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the hard thing is that they can't tell you, and you can't explain to them why you're doing this thing that's unpleasant. I really don't just want to stick my finger in your eye. I just really, really, really want to make you better.
Now, Jaden, we've had this conversation with Lisa before on the show about how she writes, and I'm always fascinated by authors and how they do it. And Lisa kind of writes the story as it goes. She doesn't do an outline ahead of time, and she kind of just flows with whatever the characters tell her. Do you work that way, or do you kind of have an idea of how the story's going to go and then fill in the blanks? How do you do it?
I'm a real hybrid writer, but I always start with an outline because it gives me the illusion that I know what I'm doing. And so I start with an outline, and I always think it has all the right plot turns at the right places, and all of these things are really, really tight and tense. This is really going to be a really plot. And then as I write, things emerge, and there are some things you just don't know about your story until you start to write it. And then something pops up and you go, oh, I didn't know that. And then you have to adjust everything based on that. And I also tend to write my first drafts are really mushy. I have usually a pretty strong beginning and a pretty strong ending and mush in the middle. And then I have to go back and I do a lot of editing and revision after that to prop it up. This one was unusual in that I didn't actually know who the villain was until the end. And I've always known before. And that was very confusing because this time I knew there were three people. And therefore, at every point, I had to go, well, if it was this person, they did it for this reason and they did it this way. And if it was this person, they did it for this reason, they did it this way. And if it was this person, they did it for this reason, this way. And that was a very interesting way to write the book for me.
I can imagine.
That's bizarre for us to think about who aren't authors. You know, we kind of think, well, you have this whole story in your mind and you just kind of put it together, right? You got the outline and I know this is who's going to be the murderer in the end and everything. So to think about you guys writing this, not knowing what's going to happen is really kind of bizarre and hard to wrap my mind around.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fun process.
It is, but I think your brain is like it makes a placeholder, so that outline gives you something you think. But then if you're open to it, you have that creative part of your brain, what we call the right side sometimes. It goes, hey, I got something better. And then if you're smart, you listen to it and you adjust accordingly.
That's very cool. I admire you both. I do. I could never do it. So I admire you both.
So, Jaden, tell us how listeners can find you online. Give us your website and social media and all of that.
Website is www.jadenterrell.com. That's JadenTerrell. And because I like to keep things very simple, the Facebook page and the Twitter are also the same, Jaden Terrell. Cool. Try to keep it real straightforward.
Awesome. Well, I hope everybody checks out your books because
I love the names of the books. We have Racing the Devil, A Cup Full of Midnight. That's a great name, by the way. And River of Glass. So love the names too. Cup Full of Midnight. That's pretty cool. I like that one.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a fun one. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much. We appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you so much.
And good luck with Pete.
Thank you so much. And he really appreciates being mentioned on the radio. The boy likes attention.
We love the old ones. And you know what? May Pete live another 10 years and cost you another $1 million.
Yes, from your lips to God's ears. Thank you.
See you, Jaden.
Thank you so much. See you. Bye.
That is old for a horse. Ponies live to that age all the time, but horses not so much.
and you know, you think of an old horse, you think of an Arabian or something along that lines. You don't, as you said, you don't think of the quarter horses living to be 37.
No, not at all. Usually, you know, I think quarter horses early 20s or mid 20s.
Yeah. And Pete's in really good health, and he gets around just fine. But as she said, she's, you know, she crams a lot of food into him.
All right, let's take a break for our commercial. It's for Kentucky Performance Products is our title sponsor on Fridays. And then we're coming back and we're going to talk about rider horsemanship with one of my neighbors here in Ocala. We'll be right back. This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Feeding your horse starch-laden grains can lead to colic, laminitis, and metabolic disease. Today, nutritionists are recommending the use of high-quality fat to provide healthy calories. Fat is an extraordinary energy source. It's readily utilized by the horse and contains more than 2 times the calories of starchy grains. Replacing grain with a high-quality fat supplement reduces a horse's risk of developing health problems. Equijoule Stabilized Rice Bran is an excellent fat supplement. It contains a balanced calcium to phosphorus ratio and won't cause mineral imbalances when added to the diet. Its all-natural ingredients are high in healthy fat and fiber. And best of all, horses fueled by Equijoule stay calmer and more focused on the job at hand. When you need to add healthy calories to your horse's diet, choose Equijoule. To learn more, visit Kentucky Performance Products at kppusa.com.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com. We need to get some Pete some Equijoule. That's exactly what Pete needs.
That was
an appropriate commercial at that point.
Sure was. Couldn't have planned that any better.
I know. We'll have to talk to Kentucky Performance Products and have a truckload of Equijoule sent down for Pete.
He would love that.
Well, Carolyn Vallant Ryder is here in Ocala, and she has a website called Ryder Horsemanship and a business over there. And, you know, we're going to talk about something a little bit different today, and her form of horsemanship adds a twist to it. And I think Dr. Wendy from the Driving Radio Show, who's a traditional Chinese medicine doctor, would approve of this. Mm-hmm. Carolyn, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. I didn't realize we were neighbors here in Ocala.
Yeah, it's great. Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. Thanks.
Are you on a speakerphone, Carolyn?
No, I'm on an ear headset.
Can we have you? Is it possible to come off of that? It's I think the sound
Hopefully
will be a little bit better.
Disconnected.
A little echoey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to turn it off, so hopefully we don't get disconnected.
All right. If we do, Jennifer will call you back.
She will.
We can hear
you.
There
we go.
That's much better.
Is that better?
Thank you so much.
Yes.
So now
tell us
about, I found this intriguing, and I love that the method is called the, and how do you say T-A-O? I always said toe. Is it tau?
The T is pronounced, yes, it's pronounced like a D. So Tao. Taoism.
Oh, Tao. Okay, yeah. The Tao of horsemanship. Very cool. So tell us about that.
Well, the Tao, I'm a Taoist, and it's very similar to Buddhism, and I've been practicing that. I'm 48, so I've been practicing that since I was a teenager. And it's made such an amazing, it's had such an amazing influence over my life spiritually. It's a spiritual practice. It's not a religion. And also in the way that my whole perception and my view, the way that I live my life, and of course my interactions with horses and people, it's just been tremendous.
How does a teenager get involved in that, assuming your parents were not?
Yes, correct. No, I was raised Catholic, and devout Catholic, my mother. And so what happened, and this is an interesting story because this is what I'm known for, especially I'm not a rescuer, I'm a healer. So I'm not just a trainer and put great foundations and do performance and travel internationally as a clinician and do the expos and so forth. I also, the part of my work that relates to the Taoism, and that is my method, of course, so it's part of everything, but what it can specialize in is healing. So I specialize in post-traumatic stress disorder. I've written articles. My website has, under resources, there's a lot of articles that I've written as well as I've collected to help support this method of mine and the amazing intelligence that our horses have, both emotionally and socially. So what happened to me as a teenager is I started to, suffer from acute panic attacks, anxiety, and they were so debilitating that I was actually passing out in high school, in between classes. Yeah, it was really, really serious. So when I went into therapy, I had a phenomenal therapist. I couldn't speak because my choice of self-preservation at that time was freezing, just like the horse. Instead of going into flight or fight, I went into the freeze mode. So I was completely shutting down to protect myself. And I couldn't speak. So she started me out with these books on Eastern philosophy and medicine and breathing. So the first thing I started to learn was meditative breathing. And the breath work allowed me to control, for the lack of a better word, to control my emotions. And it really isn't about that, but I felt so out of control. And the more that I got inside of my body and into the way that the breath work felt throughout my body, it started to regulate me, and it started to relax me. And within months, I was able to start to articulate how I felt and what was going on. And it was just an amazing process. And I've always had horses, and I had a backyard horse at the time. And I was also working for a local show barn, exercising the horses before they went, you know, before they showed that day. So it had tremendous effects in my relationships, my relationship with my horse and with horses in general. So it was a pretty amazing experience.
That's awesome. And I noticed on your website that some of your work, you explain, you know, that some of what you do kind of goes back to Xenophon. And I'm a big student of his. And maybe you can tell the listeners a little bit about him and how that ties in with what you're doing today.
Yeah, thank you. I have experience in just about every discipline. And, you know, my favorite is classical dressage. And so when I train and develop horses for balance and collection and self-carriage, quote unquote, I do it naturally. So what happens is we work in the round pen first and we develop the bond and the relationship and the trust. And then I have specific exercises for the horse where they're not hooked up to, you know, a lead rope or a halter or anything. You know, they're in this space, in this round pen, where they learn over time, and it takes the time it takes. And every horse has their own experiences and their own temperaments. So you have their nature and you have their nurture. And so they come in, and it can take weeks, it can take months before they start to really relax and start to really track up and open up their top line. And this way of being is the foundation of my work. And then it allows me, and getting back to Xenophon, you know, there's no force, there's no submission training. I don't talk about dominating the horse. There is no alpha. That's, if you've worked with wild horses, and I have, and you've studied them, and you've studied socialized horses, you know, my herd, and I have a center here. It's kind of like Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer. You know, people bring their horses here for rehabilitation, to be re-educated, as well as to be re-socialized. And it's just an amazing process to see how you can work with the horse. You can learn to work with the horse in true relationship and true partnership.
Well, and I think for people who don't know who Xenophon was, is he wrote the first known book on horses and horse training. What was it, 400 BC or thereabouts? Yeah, and I think listeners can get a copy of that on Amazon.com, so or any other online site. I think the text is still out there. I know I've got a copy of it on my Kindle, and it's just amazing. Yeah. And I think it's awesome that you're incorporating a lot of that work into what you're doing today, 2,000 and almost 2,500 years later.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I try. You know, I try to work with the horses, you know, natural agility and ability and personality to get. I mean, I love all those advanced maneuvers, and I think they're phenomenal. But I want to do it. I want the horse to want to do it with me. And, you know, so that's the philosophy.
Well, I think all of us as horse people want our horses to work with us and do things with us. But, you know, some just don't know how to get there. And so, you know, you're looking through your website, you know, you've got a lot of activities, I think, that once people know how to do them, that they can take them home and actually do those with their horse and still stay safe and see the progress.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and there's basic horsemanship, too. Yes.
Carolyn, I was going to say, I want to get back to what you said a little bit earlier, because I think it's very important, is you talked about breathing. And yesterday we had Jane Pike on, who's an equa coach in Australia, and she that is one of the things that she has to work with a lot, especially her riders that have some trepidation or fear issues. She works with breathing. Breathing is the fundamental of where she starts to get them to on the path to building confidence. But it all starts with the breathing. So it's funny that you say that today, too, because she talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, well, the breathing, right off the bat, if you can get into any rhythm in life is meditative. Whether you're listening to music and there's rhythm, you're listening to the TikTok, you are moving in rhythm, you know, you're being cradled and rocked back and forth as a baby or a young child. Rhythm is meditative. And so when you get into a breathing rhythm, it releases endorphins. And it also gets you into your sensory processing, your right brain, your sensory awareness, and out of your left brain. You know, and we're so programmed as human beings, our species, let alone, you know, just the way we're being a predator, we're so linear and we get so caught up in being so focused and trapped in organizing information in our left brain and holding on to it. It's kind of like this loop that just keeps going on and on and on. And, you know, part of what I do is I get the human to start to feel, and this is part of the breathing, and get inside of their bodies and get inside of their sensory awareness and sensory processing. So they start to develop and strengthen the right side of their brain. And then the exercises and the method that I have teaches the horse to exercise and strengthen their left brain. So that's what makes this work very safe. You know, I don't get on a horse. I won't ride anybody's horse. I have to have a relationship with them as a clinician. And, you know, also when horses come to me for training, either to be started or restarted, I have to earn that. And I have a specific method that gives me permission to get on. And I train every horse in a bareback pad and in a rope halter and lead rope. So, you know, I have to have the safest method possible because I don't want to be paralyzed. I don't want to be killed. I don't ride the buck out of a horse. I don't ever want a horse to think they have to buck again. So a lot of horses come to me with severe trauma. They rear, they're aggressive, they're defensive, they buck, they bolt, they're in flight mode. And it's my job to reset that brain, the chemistry in the brain, the neurochemistry in the brain. So the breath work, horses hold their breath too. Horses hiccup, yeah. They hold their breath. I mean, it's amazing. So yeah, well, the breathing is one of the first.
Yeah, what I think is really interesting about what you're doing is, well, many things are interesting, but you know, a lot of people just discount the groundwork and you know, you're really spending time on the ground to get to know the horse and for the horse to get to know you. And I'm a therapeutic riding instructor. And so I just know that my participants and my students, the more we spend on the ground, the better we are under saddle. And it's just so interesting that you're incorporating all of this. And I'd also like to touch too on what you said about, you know, the breathing and the right brain, left brain, when we're talking about people with autism or even some, as you said, PTSD, you know, just those rhythmic motions, whether it's the cadence of the beat of a walk of a horse or breathing, just really kind of gets you into
relaxes
the moment.
You.
It does. It does.
It does. It does. Yeah. And thank you. And, you know, I teach riding on the ground. You start, like, none of my students can come to me and start riding my horses. You must embody the cadence and the rhythm, and my exercises are specifically designed, whether it's at Liberty, the free lunge in the round pen, or you're online through my lunging for balance in self-carriage. Whatever, you're aligned and synchronized with that horse, and it opens up the pelvis. I teach how you get taller through the spine. I have a Taoist reverse breathing technique. So all of this is to get you to become, you know, in your body, out of your mind, more sensory aware, which is what creates safety for the person. Because the less linear you are and the more nonlinear, which is the horse, the easier it is for you to take in your surroundings and to slow yourself down so you catch the subtleties of what's going on. We're so quick. We're always in such a rush. You know, we've got to achieve this. We've got to get that. And, you know, I have goals, but it's the process that is the most important. And, you know, I want this horse to take care of you like it would its own baby, like it would its best friend. And it is possible. I've been in so many situations where my horses have chosen not to go into self-preservation mode, but to take care of me and to fight for me and to protect me. Yes.
Yeah. I think a lot of us who have been around horses for a number of years have had that experience, and it's just absolutely amazing. And
it's magical. It is.
And to know that you can develop that even further is pretty special.
Consistently.
I have a Hackney pony. I have a Hackney pony I'm going to be sending over to you, just saying. I think our Hackney ponies, do they have their own special line in your book? Because I'm not sure they ever get to the point where they're taking care of you and not in self-preservation mode. I'm kidding a little bit.
Boy.
I'm kidding a little bit.
No, I get it.
Do ponies have their own category? We work with them for 10 years on the ground, and then we do something with them.
Yes, pretty much. They are special. Oh, they are special. A little special sass. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That is
yeah.
true.
You know,
that
we joke true. About that, but there's a lot of truth in that statement, isn't there, about ponies?
There is.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have big personalities and big egos.
And then you add Hackney to that, you just tripled all of them.
Yeah.
You know,
just, yeah.
Why I ended up with another one, I'm not quite sure. But
Or Halflinger. You could put Halflingers in there, too.
Yeah. You know, Halflingers tend to be a little bit more level-headed, I think, than the Hackney.
Yes.
They're quite so flighty. But part of the problems with the Hackney, too, is how they train them. I think, you know, that's part of the issue.
Yes. Yes.
And I always end up with them after they do all that. So. I'm kind of the one doing what you're doing, trying to get them back to earth again, you know, so they're not.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a really good point in that, you know, I think horses react the way they think that we expect them to react.
Right.
So if they think that we expect them to be flighty, well, then that's what they are. We've got a saddlebred in our barn right now who came from a saddlebred barn. And, just in several months, she's just with groundwork and just calm. Yes. Doing a lot of what you're doing, Caroline, is just, you know, breathing and groundwork. She's just really calmed down. She's amazing.
That's beautiful. We influence them so much. You know, our environment changes them. Like you just said, the way that we treat them, the way that we think about them, the way we handle them, we create that. I mean, the horse is such a passive creature by nature that just wants to get along. They're so communal. They want to fit in. And there's some horses that have stronger personalities. They're more dominant by nature, as we know. But for the most part, the horse in general wants to fit in. And that's what, unfortunate for them. I mean, that's how we destroy them. It's just amazing. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Before we run out of time here, where can people find out how about your clinics and all of that?
Oh, on my website. Thank you. www.riderhorsemanship.com. So they can go there to find out more information about me, the articles that I have. Clinics, horses for sale. We're going to be launching a new online academy called the Tao of Horsemanship. And so that's pretty exciting. I've got a lot of interest in my free training videos on YouTube. So you can find me on Facebook, Caroline Ryder. You can find me on my YouTube channel. I think it's just Caroline Ryder Horsemanship.
Very good. Well, we appreciate you stopping by. This has been fun.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care,
Caroline. Have a great summer. Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
I wish Dr. Wendy had been in on that call. We actually spoke to, it's coming out today, the Driving Radio Show. We had a chance to speak to Dr. Shea, who is Dr. Wendy's mentor.
Really?
Dr. Shea runs the Qi Institute here in Ocala, which is where all of the veterinarians go to learn acupuncture in the country. And when he started it, he has some funny stories to tell. And it was so interesting because you've heard Dr. Wendy. I don't know if you've talked to her, but she's very confident. And Dr. Wendy will tell you, there's nothing that bothers Dr. Wendy, right? But she was so nervous to have him on because he is her mentor. And she's actually has her doctorate in veterinary medicine. And now she's getting her master's. She graduates in, we're going to her graduation here in August. She graduates with a master's in Chinese medicine. So,
really? Wow.
Yeah, so she's really advanced her studies, and in that world, you have a mentor, and that's her mentor. And she was so scared. It's taken her 5 years to ask him to be on the show.
Oh, no.
And she was so cute during this whole interview, and he was so kind. I mean, he loves her to death, but yet she was so nervous, you know? And he did his first class when he came from China here on trying to get veterinarians to do, and he's a veterinarian over there too, trying to get veterinarians to do acupuncture. And he did his first class in 1990s and no one showed up.
Oh, no.
And now his classes have 160 in each class at the Qi Institute. So that's where it's come from in what, 15, 20 years? You know, the acceptance of Chinese medicine in general, including acupuncture and everything else, herbology and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I know. My mom has a dog and he's got some back problems and really acupuncture saved him. It's just it's just amazing.
And you hear that story all the time now.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, and 10 years ago, people would have laughed at you. right?
Yes.
I would have said
yes.
You were nuts. And
yeah.
So it was really cool. If you don't usually listen to the driving radio show, take a listen to this week's. It'll come out today. Just because of that, the conversation with Dr. Shea and the relationship there with Wendy, it was really cool to listen to.
So wow.
It was fun. It was one of those special moments that I have doing this job.
I'm sure you have many.
Well, let's take a break because we have a special moment coming up, and that's called Really Bad Ads, which we do every Friday. There's nothing more special than that. But first, we had the opportunity, Jamie and I, yesterday to record a very special episode, the third time that Jared Rogerson is joining us for a special musical episode that will come out here shortly on Horses in the Morning. He's the only one to be with us three times. It was kind of a CD release party because his new CD came out, and one of his mentors that he worked with on the CD, boy, we're tying everything together. The transitions are beautiful today. One of his mentors that we worked on the CD with was Bren Hill. And I have one of Bren Hill's songs here for you today, Courage in the Saddle. We'll be back with some really crappy ads very shortly.
Hey dear, listen to my tale. It ain't much of a story, so you better listen well. In southeast Oklahoma, when I was but a boy, I ran many a match race and I never wanted more. Believe that I could ride anything with hair. Then one California morning I found myself there at Los Alamitos Racecourse in 1962, where the story starts and ends is where you find the dream comes true. Courage in the saddle, face into the wind, you ride each time like you won't live again. If you're gonna ride to win, son, it's gonna be a battle. Better have a heart of steel, courage in the saddle. Anadile was 10-1 in 64 on May the 9th. We were 25 large richer when she crossed the finish line. Night of races at Bay Meadows, 68-73. There never was a jockey who had won as much as me. We were back at Alamitos in May of 84. With thick fog down the straightaway, mud on the racetrack floor. John Critter on face in the crowd, turned left in front of me. And the bottom side of running hooves was all that I could see. Courage in the saddle, face into the wind. Ride each time like you won't live again. If you're gonna ride to win, son, it's gonna be a battle. Better have a heart of steel, courage in the saddle. My longing for the racetrack no surgery could replace. So as a 20-year outrider, I'll finally retire from the course at Alamitos, the place I first caught fire. When the years have passed right through me, I'll never be the same. And the changing times in politics, Lord, we ought to be ashamed. For we're short of field and horses, Midwest jockeys, they're all through. Where the story starts and ends is where you find the dream comes true. Courage in the saddle, face into the wind. Ride each time like you won't live again. If you're gonna ride to win, son, it's gonna be a battle. Better have a heart of steel, courage in the saddle.
That's Bren Hill. You can find all of his music at brenhill.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenda Geek, and I am here with Lisa Wysocki. Jamie is off today. She's on her way to a horse show. She'll be back on Monday to tell us all about it. Coach Jen is in the producer chair. And don't forget about Coach Jen's other show, too, and that's Horse Tip Daily. She has a probably 1,400 episodes over there now you can listen to. They're very short. So if you need some tips on anything in particular, just go to Horse Tip Daily, type in the search, and it'll bring up all the tips related to that topic. She also has a little drop-down menu on the left. You can pick like dressage or photography or whatever you want to pick, and it'll bring up all the episodes that are about that. You can listen to them all at once. So it's kind of easy to do over there at Horse Tip Daily. And we are brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com. It's that time of the week.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It's time for some really bad ads. We do this every Friday where listeners submit really crappy Craigslist ads or Facebook ads or whatever it is in your country. And we added a twist a couple of weeks ago and asked our listeners to read them for us so we have to do less work and can have a more enjoyable Friday. And they started doing that. So we have some of those for you today as well. Well, Lisa, we're starting a new month. And the way we do it now is we have a big prize that we give away every month. Everybody that submits an ad gets put into a hat and we pull a name at the end of the month. And that's who wins the prize. We figure that's a little bit more fair than picking winners. So that's what we do. And this month, and I just heard about this morning before the show, actually, Carrots is giving away one of their competitors' coats. That's right. One of their show jackets.
Wow.
Yeah, this is $130 value. I'm going to just read from the website. Elegance can be easy and comfortable, cut to flatter in a fabric that breathes and stretches with every stride. This jacket helps you feel cool and polished, even if your steed is snorting at a plastic bag. Yeah, the hidden front, it really does say that. The hidden front zip and three snap closure lay flat against your body for a slim, classic equestrian look in the saddle or out. Machine washable, no ironing required. And these really are nice jackets. You'll be able to pick your color and your size, and they're approved for use at USEF and USDF dressage competitions as well. So if you can't use one of these, then just give it to a best friend. It'll be the best gift they ever got, right?
Oh, they can give it to me. I want one.
Yeah, Jennifer said that too, actually. The first thing she said is, I need one of those. These are really
can
nice.
Can I win this, please?
And all of our listeners know Carrots products are excellent. And I know most of our listeners have Carrots products of some kind. And we really appreciate Carrots donating this to it. You can find more about it at carrots.com. And that's with a K, K-E-R-R-I-T-S.com. Well, let's get started today. You have the first one.
I do. It's a 7-year-old gelded quarter thorough. And I don't know if that's a quarter horse thoroughbred or if he's thoroughly gelded. a little bit unclear. So they want $2,500 for this horse. Rusty is a bay thoroughbred gelded horse. He just turned 7. Trail and working cattle. friendly, 15 hands. He needs someone who has the time for a horse. Well, isn't that true?
That's true of anybody who buys a horse. You really should have the time for it. Yes.
Very good personality. He has a Corriente saddle, and that is spelled S-A-D-A-L. That fits him perfect. That will sell for an additional $685 and tack $150. Please email or text if seriously interested. $2,500. Corriente saddle not pictured on horse. So there you go.
There you go. And you got apparently the saddle has to go with it because it's a perfect match. And why he picked $685 and not like $700 or
$650? I don't know. Well, but that sounds so much cheaper than $700.
It does. It does. Yeah. You know, it's a lot really more does. Than $650. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the horse, you know, they mentioned twice that he's gelded. So it's probably a thoroughbred quarter horse. Cross.
Yes. And it's probably a stallion, too. Yeah.
Probably.
I have no idea.
Stallion,
yeah.
too. You know, when I was, I have to say, when I was in Alabama, I had a little girl come up to me and I asked what kind of horses she had said, and she had two, and she said one's a mini and one's a Mustang, but they're both quarter horses. So there you go.
I've seen a lot of mini quarter horses, actually, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't see that too often.
Exactly. I think she meant that they weren't gated, that they weren't walking horse or
yes.
that type of horse. I think that's what she meant. She was eight, so, you know.
Well, I got a cheaper one, and this was sent in by Amanda, and it's a screenshot, and I got to tell you about the picture first. The picture is a stuffed horse. It's a Palomino stuffed horse with no head. That's right. It's been decapitated. So that's what the picture is. And
it
this
is mildly disturbing.
It is mildly disturbing, especially when I read the ad. It says Palomino gelding, $100, and this is Willimantic, Connecticut, which is where my brother lives, by the way. Palomino gelding, bomb-proof, easy keeper, easy to catch, and get on. Not headstrong, and rides bitless. Perfect husband horse, not a nipper or a cribber. Not head shy, gentle and reliable around other horses or animals, doesn't ever spook, and not a runaway. More woe than go, price negotiable.
He's not head shy, but he is shy ahead.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. Oh,
rides
my goodness.
You know, you'll spend less on tack with this particular one.
Very,
you know,
very
you don't
true.
Need a bridle.
And like Caroline said, you know, you don't have to worry about the bridle. You just ride in with the horse. You know? Just,
and actually, I think what this is, do you see the ones around the every time you go to like Rolex and those places, they have those up and down horses you go up and down on?
Yeah.
And you make them go? By themselves, I think that's one of these, but it's not going to go because it's missing the part that makes it go, and that's the head.
Well, so, I was thinking balance might be an issue, too.
I think the child, they bought this thing for $500. The child brought it home the first day and ripped its head off, and that's
probably
exactly what happened with this one.
Probably. Either that or Scooter got a hold of it.
And how do they know it's a gap? Oh, Scooter, that's one or the other. That could be two, actually. All right, the next one was sent in by Lindsay Roush, who read it for us. So let's take a look. And I haven't heard these yet. Don't let Jennifer's listen to them. So.
Ooh.
This is Lindsay from Indiana. And for you, I have a registered AQHA gelding in Boswell. For sale, liver chestnut color, no dealers. Potential to be family horse or gaming for shows. Potential for anything? He is Wieskamp bred, mother-owned daughter of I'm a Cool Skip. Height is 15'2", needs trainer first. So he's a family horse who needs a trainer. Can be sold as is to your trainer or for $400. Trained here, with lessons included to coordinate you and your horse. His name is Cool Selection, a.k.a. Happy. Text first, his phone calls are screened. No emails, I'm tired of scammers with no phones. Okay, so he's got potential to be a family horse, but he's completely untrained. Yeah, I don't get this one either.
Thank you, Lindsay, for that. And it always bothers me too when somebody at the end says or can be trained here, and I'm going, well, why didn't you train it before you sold it?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I look at the Craigslist ads in Nashville and in the Minneapolis area all the time, and what gets me is you'll get a 17 or 18 or 20 year old horse and they say barrel prospect.
Yes.
You know, the horse is 20 years old, he's not a prospect for anything.
He's a prospect to be spending $1 million on Equijoule for the next 20 years. That's what your prospect is.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
He'll be Pete. He'll be your Pete.
Exactly. Yes.
Casey Berger sent, thank you, Lindsay, for doing that. Casey Berger sent the following one in. Four mouth old paint pony, $300 in Bayless. He's a little stud pony. He is very nice, and he has one blue eye. The mommy has two blue eyes.
Aw.
That's it. That's the whole ad. I don't know how big this pony is. I don't know anything about the pony except he. Apparently, this person thought the most important thing was he had a blue eye.
Well, and it says it's four mouth old, so he must have four mouths.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Yeah, that's pretty special.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I haven't seen one of those before.
I haven't either.
He's an old pony with four mouths.
Right. Yeah. There you go. There you
and
go.
He now, is a stud. Apparently, that didn't work too well yet. We haven't gotten to that point yet with this one.
Yeah, I wonder how much he'd eat if he had four mouths.
Why was it important that the mommy had two blue eyes, by the way?
I don't know. Well, he's a stud, so maybe he would pass along the two blue eyes.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, heritage.
Yeah, I didn't really
just looking
think
ahead
about
to
that.
Breeding rights.
I'm apologizing. I'm apologizing in advance to everybody that has a horse with blue eyes. I find him creepy.
Oh.
I do. I just find him creepy. Just saying.
You know, I do a lot of clinics and stuff with Sam Powell, who's kind of a Western cowboyish kind of clinician, and he doesn't like the blue eyes either. He said that the horses react differently.
I just think they're creepy. I'm sorry. I apologize. Write me emails. I don't care. I just think I'm allowed to have my opinion, and I think they're creepy. But
there you go. That's your opinion.
Yeah. Blonde girls, blue eyes, good. Horses, not so much. I'm just saying.
So all right, our next
would you bail me out, please, Lisa?
I am. I'm trying, Glenn. If you just, yeah, I'm trying.
Shut up, Glenn. Just shut up. Put down the shovel.
Ramona Wheeler sent in the next ad. It just says, Horses Augusta. I have two horses for sale. The female is a painting horse, and the male is a black Tennessee horse, asking $2,000 for both.
I want a horse that paints. That'd be great. I got a house that needs painted. We got a fence that needs painted.
Sure. Barns, horse trailers,
nice.
Cars. Boy, you could make some money with a painting horse.
Oh, yes, you could. I like that idea. $2,000, you can make that back in no time.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, what is it, the elephant sanctuary that does the elephant paintings?
Yes.
Maybe if it's an artistic kind of a painting horse, you could make a lot of money there.
I'm sign me up.
Yeah.
Send him over. Gus is not too far from us.
No.
Is he a realist painter or more of an impressionist? What do you think?
Doesn't say, but remember, it comes with a black Tennessee horse, too.
Yes, we don't exactly know what that one does. Apparently nothing. Because
it's the companion.
Yes, that's right. It's not good at painting, that one. No. And you know, Jamie would have made you read this in your best Southern accent, because it was Augusta, Georgia.
Well, it was,
yes. She would have made you do that one.
See, I'm in Minnesota now, so I'm kind of leaving the
Tennessee thing behind. You never did have much of a Southern accent. Avery sent the next one in, and she actually read this one. Now, this is our bad trailer of the week, and I don't know what the ad says, so I'll tell you what the picture of the trailer looks like after we hear Avery. And I think let's see here. And it's taken Avery a minute to start. She's finding where the mic button is on her phone.
For sale. 1997 horse trailer. $750 in Long Beach, Washington. 1997 horse trailer. In the last year, we have cleaned and painted the frame, put new floor, sidewalls, ramp, and tires last year. Also replaced the wood on one of the escape doors. Ran new wiring, then we moved, and never finished. We'll include everything I have accumulated to finish the trailer, though. I have hauled around town with temporary lights when I need it to use it. Have some surface rust, nothing too bad though. Temporary lights go with it, so you are road legal. It does fit a 16 two-hand thoroughbred mare and a 15 three-hand paint gelding together for those that have told me it is too small. Bought a new trailer since and would like this gone. Asking $750 or best offer. May trade for the right 14-inch saddle. I want it out of my driveway.
That was well read, Avery.
Oh, that was. That's another pet peeve of mine on these Craigslist ads. It's like, I want it gone today. I mean, it's like, oh, come on.
Yeah, that's not helping you. That's making you sound desperate, and the thing's a piece of crap. That's what that says. Yeah,
exactly.
You might as well say, this thing's a piece of crap. I want it gone today. That's what that does say. By the way, this trailer in the picture does look way too narrow for two horses. Jennifer, you saw the picture. It looks way too narrow. I don't know what they were talking about.
Here's the important part. It only fits a thoroughbred mare and a quarter horse gelding.
Yes.
Yes.
So if you have a halflinger and a Missouri Foxtrotter, no go.
No go. It has to be that exact combination.
Very specific.
That's specific.
It kind of limits your sales opportunities.
Yeah, and I noticed they took the picture from the front, so we can't see the tires. We can't see really anything about the trailer except the rounded front. And, it, you know, I love how they said they rewired it, but then later in the thing it said, oh, but I have temporary lights for it. So apparently the rewiring didn't go so well. Not real good. Yeah,
that's a little scary.
And I wish they would have labeled it more clearly. Obviously, it's sitting along the road. How are people going to know it's for sale, Glenn?
Oh yeah, there's 14 for sale signs all over this thing. I mean, just everywhere. The whole thing is for sale signs. I think the for sale signs is hiding up the big holes where the rust are.
There you go. That was going to be my thought.
Yeah,
covering up something.
Yeah. Kind of like that teenager's car that's being held together by bumper stickers.
Yeah.
By the way, that is way over our $350 limit on crappy horse trailers, by the way. So don't buy this one. It's way over the limit. All right. Yeah. Next one, Sharon sent in.
Next one. Sweetest Trail Gypsy Gelding on sale. This is sent in by Sharon. On sale. I like that. $2,600, Oakland. Text us with your phone number and email address for more info and recent images. Nice. And amazing movement for a perfect gelding pleasure prospect with gorgeous color and conformation. Pleasure prospect. He has trail experienced and spook-proof boy that anyone can ride. He has no bad vices and even neck reins on a loose rein. He lowers his head and walks calmly. So I guess with a tighter rein, he doesn't walk calmly.
No, he's gotta hear.
That's what I would take from that. He is from a champion bloodlines, updated in all vaccines and all health documents are available. He is well harnessed and does perfect well under saddles and rope. So saddles and rope. Now that's a real talent, Glenn.
Yes, that is. And he's well harnessed. Does that mean he drives? I don't know.
Under saddles and rope. So I'm going to have to work on that with my horses.
Yep.
He has some natural horsemanship foundation, must go to forever loving home.
Because mine was not.
Yeah.
See, that's the other thing that I see with that one. As soon as they say that, must go to forever loving home, better than I gave him, is what I always end that with.
I'm still stuck on a loose rein. He lowers his head and walks calmly. So we'll get past that one.
For a trail gypsy. I didn't even know that was a breed, a trail gypsy, but apparently it is.
Apparently it is.
Yes. Well, yes. Jenny Maybrook, wow, that's a new name, sent this one in. Thank you, Jenny. Green Cheek. I hadn't read this one before. Green Cheek Conure with Cage, $125. One Green Cheek Conure comes with cage and toys, not good with children. Looking for a safe, forever bird lover home? We'll consider trade for a nice, quiet family pet. Insert pet of your choice that enjoys the company of rambunctious children. Well, no wonder the Conure wasn't good with your kids. They were pulling its feathers out. It's like I'd bite them too.
Poor thing.
Okay, please nobody trade a pet into this home.
No.
You know which pet they need?
No.
They need that Palomino pet that we had first.
The one with the head ripped off. Yeah. Yes,
no,
that's the one
that's
we needed.
That's the pet they need.
Oh, God.
Absolutely.
We're just going to replace this tortured animal with another tortured animal.
Yes. So you can do your own
live
swap.
Pets for these children.
Jeez. Maybe consider baseball or football or something.
Yeah. That could be dangerous, though, too.
God, I'm just on my high horse today, aren't I? I just... Jessica Phoenix thing just fired me up, and I got the whole Canadian contingent mad at me now. I got everybody with a horse with blue eyes mad at me, and everybody with rambunctious children now hates me, too. So why not? It's Friday.
It's Friday. Don't get over it, Glenn.
You'll be over it by Monday. It'll be good. Yes. You can come back and listen then. I'll be off my high horse.
Yes.
Allison sent this one in. She did send this one in. Let's take a listen.
Horse for sale, $300. We have a colt yearling for sale He's 1 year old. Asking $300 or trade for riding lawnmower. Dad was an Arabian. Mom is Appaloosa Cross. He is starting to get his spots. Contact him for more information.
Contact him? I don't think he's going to say much.
That Appaloosa pony has his very own cell phone.
Didn't we come up with a name for an Arabian Appaloosa, Jennifer, on your list? An Arapaloosa. That's what it was. It was an Arapaloosa. That's what it was.
Well,
yes.
Well, because the mother is an Appaloosa Cross, would this then be an Arapaloosa Cross?
Oh, it might be. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be pure
Appaloosa. That would be pretty special.
Appaloosa. I can't say it now. It's Friday. I love how they said he was a yearling twice, too. We had to get that in case you didn't know what that
was. Yes, and that he was beginning to get his spots. So maybe he's just roaning out. Some Appaloosas do that.
Yep. Or he's just going to be a spotted wonder. Who knows?
He could be.
Yes. Well, Linda Booth sent this one in. An AQHA reg mare, $1,500. A decent bred mare with streaking... I was going to give this one to you. If it was Jamie, I would have given it to her because I would have done that to her. But I like you. So I was.
Thank you, Glenn.
I wasn't giving you this one. And I think you see why now.
I know. I do.
All right. Let me start over because I have to read this differently. Now, this could also be a personal ad. So I want you to think about this as not only a horse ad, but it also could have been in the Craigslist personal area. Yes. And I'm going to start over. AQHA registered mare, $1,500. Decent bred mare with streak and six and go dick go on her papers. About 15 two hands with good bone and feet. She is pretty intimidating, so she needs an experienced rider, not for a beginner. No buck or rear, but very grouchy.
Yeah, we all want those grouchy mares, don't
we? Yes. How did we put streak and six and go dick go together, by the way? How did that happen?
No, I don't know. I guess what that results in is grouchy.
But good bones. Very good bones,
good bones
and feet.
Yes. Good bone and feet. Oh, my goodness.
You can thank me for not giving you that one, by the way.
Thank you, Glenn.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
I would have given it to Jamie. I really
would. I know you would have. Yes.
I respect you too much, Lisa.
Oh,
Lisa brings a little class.
I still want to be in the next book is really what it is.
Well, there you go. Yes.
Yeah, I don't want her writing us out. Linda, that's got to be the one. That's got to be the one of the day, though, right there.
Oh, there have been several really good ones.
How do you write that without cracking up?
I don't know. This is my favorite part of the show. It really is.
That's some good ones this week. And I really like the listener submitted ones. If you want to continue doing that, just record them on your phone. Every phone now, every smartphone has a recorder. Just hit record, read it, and send it over to us just like they did. And we also had others.
We also had other submitters this week, too, didn't we?
Yeah, who were they?
Also submitting, but didn't quite make it to the air this week, we had Joy Rebecca, Celeste, Charlotte, Alexandra, Rossi, Aaron, and Simone.
Well, thank you to all of you, even if you don't make it to the air, are included in the drawing for the Carrots show coat, which we'll be doing at the end of the month. And if you want to find out more about that, go to carrots.com. Lisa, where can people find your books? If they haven't read about us in your books, where can they find it?
In stores and online everywhere. It's the Cat Enright Equestrian Mystery Series. And I also have some other nonfiction horse books. I've got one called Therapy Horse Selection. That's a good book just for anybody who's wanting to buy a horse. Talks about confirmation and red flags that might lead to unsoundnesses. My Horse, My Partner, Teamwork on the Ground, talks about groundwork. And I think you can just do a Google search or go to my website at lisawysocki.com. Everything's on there, including my social media. I hope everybody friends me. I'd like to get to know even more of the auditors and listeners and have even more stalkers.
Now, the other thing that Lisa does that we don't talk about very often, but it probably is her main source of income, is she does clinics, and she's a very good instructor and clinician. And do you have any of those coming up?
I do. I'll be at the PATH, Professional Association of Therapeutic Horsemanship, Region 5 conference in Mississippi the end of this month. I'll be at the National CHA conference in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Oh, cool.
That's
right down the street from your house.
right down the street from my house, and I'll be at the International Path Conference in Williamsburg, Virginia, in November. So I'm really completely booked up for this year, but I've got some openings for 2017. I do a lot of clinics at barns and stables and therapeutic riding centers. So if anybody's interested, they can just go to my website and contact me through there.
And if you see her at a at an expo or anywhere, you're allowed to chase her down. That's allowed.
You are. Yeah,
apparently,
you
it's
are.
Become a thing. So
it is a thing to have auditors following me all across the expo grounds.
And we love that. That makes Lisa feel important when she has she has her own posse.
I do, and it's very much fun, and it's so great. No, seriously, the auditors are great, and even just the regular listeners, they're all just so kind and so loyal to Horses in the Morning and Horse Radio Network. It's amazing what's been developed here. You guys have done a great job.
Well, thank you, and we appreciate our auditors and all of our listeners around the world. Well, thank you, everybody. I just want to give a special shout-out. I just found this out during the show, actually during our song break, that good friend of ours and somebody who actually auditioned to host this show at the same time Jamie did, our friend Chrissy Joy, and we just found out she did a very cute announcement about her being pregnant for her first baby. So, so congratulations, Chrissy.
Yeah.
Chrissy actually lived with us for quite a while in Lexington and is a good friend, and we're so happy for her. So congratulations, Chrissy.
Absolutely.
Well, that's it for today. We'll be back on Monday with all of Jamie's stories about what happened with Zeus for his first show. I think we'll have less stories with Zeus than we did with Thor, but we'll find out. You never know. It is Jamie, after all, so...
Yeah. Anything could happen.
I don't think she appreciated me calling her a complete train wreck the other day, but truth hurts sometimes. That's just the way it is. But we are hoping you have a terrific weekend. Ride your horses, go have some fun, and Lisa, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was a blast, as always.